You've tuned into His Name Ministries podcast.
You are so special to God. God loves you with a love that you can't even imagine or can't even think about. It talks about in the scripture. You're special to Him. How special, you may ask? The price He paid. He sent Jesus down for you and I to be our substitute of sin. Heaven went bankrupt for you and I. Didn't send gold. Gold, plenty of that. Paved streets with that. Rubies, no big deal. I'm going to send you something I only have one of. I'm going to send my son Jesus for you because you're special to God. And He loves you so much. And He doesn't want you to ever be sad or disappointed or discouraged. We live in a world and this earth is so bound up with discouragement and negativity. But God doesn't want us to be living in this life. You know, we are in the world, but guess what? We're not of the world. And He wants us to be the bright and shining light and say, devil, I won't be discouraged because I'm special. God loves me. I don't care what it looks like in my bank account. Devil, you are a liar. I'm special. God loves me. My God is the richest Father in the earth, and He is for me and not against me. Hallelujah. So I was praying about, you know, I was really seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to share about? And last night, I was up late, and the Lord dropped this into my heart. And it's this: God has a plan for your life. You're not just special to God, but He has a plan for your life. He wants to make all of your wildest dreams come true. Those are not just your dreams inside of you. Those are His dreams inside of you. And He wants to make them true. Amen? God has a plan for your life. You're special. Hallelujah. Psalms 139, verse 13, it says this: for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Before you even on earth, God says, I formed you and I've knitted you. You are special, and you're not just on earth just to be on earth to survive, but you are on earth because I have something special for you to do. I have a big plan for your life. Isn't that a good thing? Not your plan, but His plan. He has a plan for your life. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this: for I know the plans. So many people today are trying to find the plan. What am I going to do? This and that. Get discouragement when this doesn't work out. Or they have this timetable set in their head and then it doesn't come to pass the way they wanted it. And I want to look like this. I want to do this. By the time I'm 30, I wanted this. And none of my dreams are coming true. Here's what the word of the Lord is saying: for I know the plans I have for you. Isn't that a good thing? I know your plans. You can put your name in there. Brandon, for I know your plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. He has plans to prosper you, to make you a blessing, not just for you, but you can be a blessing to other people. If you look throughout the Word of God, if you study it, you look at the men of God that were close to the Lord, they were very blessed. They were prosperous. God's saying, you know what? I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Have you ever heard this saying? Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. I've heard that all my life. Don't get your hopes up. Not by my family, by other people. Oh, I'd be so excited, this and that. Oh, did you hear about that? Hey, don't get your hopes up. Yeah, you're right, you're right. I want to tell you tonight, get your hopes up. Because God says, I'm going to give you hope and I'm going to give you a future. And it is bright and it is blessed and it's beyond anything you can even imagine or think. Amen. But it all starts. It's not going to just come on you. It all starts by putting God first place in your life. Acknowledging Him, saying, you know what, God, you know what? I can't do it. I can't make these dreams come true, but You can. And I'm going to put my eyes on You, and I'm going to worship You no matter what. And I'm going to come to church. I'm going to read. I'm going to sow and tithe. It all starts by putting Him first place in your life. Can't be playing around. We can't be playing games with the enemy. And the word, it talks about the enemy. He goes around seeking whom he may devour. But he can't devour us. We are born again. We are Christians. But we can't be playing around. We can't be playing with the world. We can't be drinking what they drink. We can't be talking the way they talk. We can't be looking at the things they look at. We are called to be different. And the closer you are to Jesus, the closer, the more time you spend with him, it'll just all start fading away. You'll just notice, wow, I'm different. Things are starting changing. I'm not the way I used to be. We are called to be different. We are called to be difference makers. But we can't be playing around. We can't be lukewarm. It talks about in the Word of God that we have to be on fire for him. We have to have him first place in our life. Not destiny first place in my life, but Jesus first place in my life. Where I spend time with him. My happiness doesn't come from anything else, but my happiness, my joy comes from him. And my joy of knowing I'm not in this life alone, but the Holy Spirit's inside of me. He leads me. He guides me. He shows me things to come. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female." We are not made in just our parents' images. We are made in the image of God. You're special. Right there, you're special. You're made in the image of God. And you're concerned about what am I going to do in my life? What about my plans and this and that? And God is saying, you know what, girl, I got you. Boy, I got you. You're made in my image. I have plans for you. You trust in me and you keep on being consistent and you don't get discouraged. You put your eyes on me no matter what. I'll make everything come to pass. Amen. I like this in Job. It says this, "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." The Spirit of God made us, and his breath gives us life. We are people of power. Just like when God breathed into man and he was forming, you know, Adam, and that's what he did with us. We are born with the breath of the Almighty God. You're special. He has a plan for your life. Amen. But I wanna kind of get into this, a plan for your life. And the Hebrew is this. It's a derek. It's called a derek. I wanted that to be the title. You have a derek, but you guys would probably be like, what is he talking about? So I'll say, you know what, I'll just kind of put it down here into California terms. God has a plan for your life. But you have a derek. And I've heard this my whole entire life with my family. Brandon, you're derek. God's leading you, you're Derek. And I knew what it meant, and it's this, it's in the Hebrew. And the word Derek means this, way. You have a way, God has you on a path. A road, you can look at your life as a road. Distance, journey, a manner. And the Derek is referenced in the Bible 620 times. I thought that was amazing. 620 times that word Derek is in the Bible. But there's things that can get you off your derrick, off your path that God has called you to do. And let me tell you, the enemy, he will try everything he can do to get you off your path. Amen. He knows the power in this. Trust me, I've had things come against me before I even met Destiny. I was in a relationship with this person. I don't want to go too deep into it. I don't want to get in trouble. Someone block her. But I was in this relationship, and I knew it wasn't right. It was not a godly type of relationship. It wasn't a word of faith. It wasn't a sowing and tithing relationship. She was bringing me down. I was acting all wild around her. You know, what's going on? You know, my flesh was speaking a few times. And my family, they all knew it. And I knew it, but I didn't want to admit it. But what was it? The Lord spoke to me. He said, Brandon, you have to end this. And he told me, he kept telling me, and I never did. And finally, it was like that voice inside of us, the Holy Spirit. He spoke to me so clear. He said, Brandon, you end it today. Because if you don't, I'm going to still love you, but you're not going to have a blessed life. You're not going to have the life I gave you. So I made that decision. I said, God, I'll follow you. And that was my Derek, and it put me back on my Derek. Something happened to me. I started praying and reading, and God started moving in my life. Started traveling with my grandmother and seeing amazing things God was doing. What? He got me back on my Derek. I started getting blessed again. It was like when I was in that relationship, man, a dollar menu McDonald's was like a big deal for me. I was like, you know, we're not going to, you know, talk about the fundraiser we're having, Red Robin. Red Robin, yeah, right. Come on. You're going to, it was like I was struggling and toil and toil and toil. And guess what? I made that decision. And God put me back on my Derek. And I started seeing the blessing. I started feeling better. Things started happening in my life. But the enemy, he'll try everything to get you off your Derek, off your path. He'll try a good-looking guy to get you off your path. That's one of his number one tactics, I believe, is putting someone in your life who looks good, talks really good, smells really good, or a girl, and they'll get you off your path where you're not going to church like you should. You're not reading like you should. Things that you believed in, you know, now they're asking you about it and they're challenging it, and you're not strong. What the enemy is trying to get you off your Derek and off your path. The enemy knows if you are on your path on what God has called you to do, you are a world changer. Not just so many people limit themselves and say, oh, I'm just here and I work my 9 to 5. No, you are a world changer. I don't care if you've been doing the same occupation for 20 years and you don't think you've seen a difference. Let me tell you, you are a world changer. You're a difference maker. It's not just about you, but who's inside of you. It talks about in Acts, they're talking about the disciples, and it says, these men who turn the world upside down. That's you and I. This is our foundation. These are Christians. They didn't have Jesus in Acts with them. No, they carried him. So much so that people say, when I'm around them, I took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. That's what people need to do when they see us. When we go to State or Brothers, something's different about them. Wow, they're not just those. You can tell they're a Christian. Pastor Frank, perfect example of that. You know he's a man of God just the way he is. He challenges me and how he takes care of people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let me tell you, he really does love his neighbors. He does things for them, and I never really saw it like that. I was like, you know what? I don't think I've ever done anything for my neighbors. You know, growing up, I'd have my neighbors next door, and I'd be playing basketball. If I saw them, I'd go inside. I didn't want to see them. But Pastor Frank, he shows that. He's a difference maker. Everyone loves Pastor Frank. And you are as well. They said that these men have turned the world upside down. Amen. I was reading, there's this bookstore I like to go to when I go back home. And it's all used books. And it's all Christian books. And I go there and I'll get random books. And they're all pre-owned. People, you know, read them, and maybe they passed away, and they gave the books to this bookstore. So I grabbed this book, and I was like, this is a good one. So I started reading it, and I opened up the front, and it had this lady's name in there. And it had her notes, and they're really great notes. And it's like, the Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm God's favorite, and really encouraging. And I felt led, I'm going to Google her. So I Googled her. I've never heard of this lady's name. She's not someone you'd see on TV, but I Googled her. I could just see her probably sitting there in her study, sitting on her little favorite chair, and she's just writing her notes, thinking no one's going to ever see this. Here I am in California. I'm reading about this lady, and it was amazing how God used her. It starts out how she went to school, and she became a nurse, and she felt a call for missions, and God sent her to Africa. And she started orphanages. They said she was I'm reading like a Wikipedia about her, how she started tons of orphanages, saved thousands of lives. That's what I'm talking about. That's a world changer right there. So don't ever limit yourself. I'm just here. No, God's going to use you. God's going to bring people in your path. God has a plan for each and every one of you. You're special to him. Amen. We serve an amazing God. Maybe one person said amen, okay. That's all right. That's what I thought. Amen. You know, like I said, the enemy will try everything he can do to get you off your path. But just like in your car, you know, you have your little GPS. You know, your GPS, and maybe you miss a turn. And that beautiful, sweet voice says, recalculating, recalculating. You can keep on driving, recalculating. It doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? Pay attention. Goodness, you missed. This is the third time. How many times have you gone to this place and you don't know where you're going? No, it just says recalculating, recalculating. Let me tell you, our God is better than a GPS. You might feel like you were off your path before, but God is saying recalculating, recalculating. I'm getting you back on your path. Amen. Isn't that a good thing? I like this. Psalms 37 verse 5. It says this, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Give him your life. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, not in what people are saying or what the economy is saying. No, trust also in him and he will do it. That's a good thing. Not you're going to do it. God's going to do it. That word commit, it's another translation is this, cosign. He says, I'll take care of it. I'm going to co-sign it. I'm going to use you, but I got your back. That's what it means when someone co-signs. You know that. You know, if you can't take care of it, someone's going to take care of it. God is saying, you know what? I have co-signed. Commit your life to me, and I am going to take care of the rest. There's so many examples of this in the Word, of people on their of their lives, their derricks, and how they even gone off of their paths of life. You know, one example is Jonah. I want you guys to turn there. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to talk about this for a few minutes. Are you guys getting blessed tonight? Hallelujah. Some of you are going, where's Jonah? It's like one page. I'm just going to watch you guys turn. I'm not even going to help you. Steve is still turning. Yeah. It's right before Micah. I don't know if that helps. Right behind Obadiah. Amen. But there's so many examples of this, of people having their derricks, their past life. David, look at his. He's out in the field. You know, his Samuel comes to anoint king. And the whole system, the whole protocol is the oldest son first. David is not in that system at all. He brings everyone else there. Nope, the Lord's not with him. Do you have one more? Yeah, I have David. He comes out of the field. He said, this is him. His whole life, his whole path. His derrick has started out in the field. I'm sure the enemy could say, you know what? Even your own father counted you out. There might be people that say, the enemy might try to put that one on you. Look, your own family has counted you out. That happened to David. Your own father has counted you out. But no, God says, you know what? I don't look the way man looks. I look at the heart. God sees your heart. And if you're truly honest, and if you truly say, God, I commit my way to you, use me for your glory, take me wherever you want to go, he will do it. Amen. And things will try to come your way to make you discouraged. David going to check on his brothers. His brothers saying, why are you coming here? They made fun of him. They were mean to him. But David did not get discouraged. He didn't say, you know what, and start crying. No, he kept on going what God has called him to do. He knew he was on an assignment. And he had a faith in God that we all need to have. Everyone else is scared. People that are, their whole craft was war. And they were all scared. They didn't know what to do because a Goliath was saying some things. You might have a Goliath in your life, a Goliath problem saying some things. It might be your body. It might be your family. It might be this and that. It might be your job. And David hears it and he says, who's talking about my God? He made it a personal thing. Who's talking about you? You're special. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. God has plans for you. He's saying, who's talking about my God? He had a faith in God. And he said, God will take care of me. That was his derrick. His path for his life. Started out in the field worshiping God, taking care of a few sheep. His own brother brought that out. Hey, go back and take care of the few sheep that you take care of.
In other words, hey, go back and be with the few sheep, loser. He didn't say, man, brother, you're really mean. Forget you. No. That's how we have to be. We have to have a confidence in our God and a faith in our God that he will take care of me no matter what. I will trust in him no matter what. Amen. I was telling Destiny just recently, if I was in Antarctica, I have such a trust in my faith in God, I know he would take care of me. We got to have that. Because I've seen it. I've seen it when I come here and I drive my little Honda out here and it barely made it going up those mountains and I saw the temperature gauge going up. Oh, Lord, please help us. And I came out here and trusting God. When I seen him, his provision and his blessings and us going to speak at places. When I'm all by myself and discouragement would try to come, but I would trust in God. I put my faith in him like David in the field. We got to have that kind of faith, amen. And our Derek in our life and our plan for our life. So Jonah chapter 1, are you guys there? Amen. Amen. I can't see the clock, so I'm going to just preach for another hour or so. Is that cool with you guys? All right. Okay, chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. So we're talking about, before I talk about this, we're talking about a path. You have a path for your life. A derrick, a journey, a road. We're going to look at Jonah's road right here. So verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. So here's his derrick. Here's his path. Son, arise and go to Nineveh. The Lord might be telling you to do some things. Obey it. Do it. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he's leaving. He's not going to Nineveh. I'm not going there. I'm going to do my thing. And Tarshish, how far that is from Nineveh, it's really far. It's 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. He's saying, God, I know what you told me to do. I heard your voice and my derrick, my path and my road. But God, I don't want to do it. And I'm jetting out of here. I'm going the furthest away I can. 2,500 miles away. I'm not going to do what you told me to do. So we know what happens here. Let me tell you this, you can never run from God. You can run from God, but you'll never be happy. You'll never be blessed. We can't be running away from God. We got to be running towards God. We can't be running away from church. We got to be running to church. We can't be running away from the Word of God. We got to run to the Word of God. Here's Jonah. He's running away. He's trying to get out of there. So he goes to Tarshish. He's running away. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest so that the ship was like to be broken. So this ship's about to break. They're out in the sea, and it is not going well. It's not like your carnival cruise. They're not eating at the buffet. They're not getting pizza and getting a big old thing of ice cream. Too much, knowing they're not going to eat half of it. Hanging out the hot tub. No. Can I get an amen for that? All right. So the ship's about to break. And the mariners, they were afraid and they cried unto every man unto his God. So they're saying, cry to your God. This is not natural. And they cast forth the wares that they were in this ship into the sea to lighten it. So they're trying to get rid of things. Lighten up the ship. But Jonah was gone down to the size of the ship, and he laid, and it was fast asleep. So Jonah's asleep. Everything else is going. They're going wild. They're throwing things off the ship. Verse 6, the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. I think it's interesting how they woke him up and they said, call upon your God. People today, they're searching for the real. They're searching for the power. And guess what? We have that power. They say, call upon your God. See if he can stop this. Just like when Jesus on the boat, peace, be still. Everything was perfectly calm. They said, call upon him, please. So they said to everyone, come and let's cast lots so we may know whose cause is evil upon us. So they're like throwing dice. And they cast lots and the lots fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? They say, what do you do? And where do you come from? And what people are you? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. He says, I reverence God. I am a Hebrew. And they knew it. They could not believe it. They said, and he told them, he said, for the men knew that they had fled from the presence, that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So we know what happens. You know, they cast them out and they cast them out on the sea and they cry out and they say, God, we beseech you, don't let our lives perish for this man, and lay not upon us his blood. So they took him and they threw Jonah out into the water. But it says this, but God had prepared, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. What? He's getting him back on his derrick. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you've been thousands of miles away doing this. God has prepared for you to get back on your derrick, on your journey, on your life. Why? Because you're special to him. Amen. So check this out. Verse chapter 2, verse 9. So we know what happens. He's swallowed up by the great fish. In verse 9, it says this, but I will sacrifice unto thee, Lord, with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So what? He repented in there. He said, God, I will go. I will go. I won't try to run away from Nineveh. I won't try to do my own thing. God, I will go. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, what is this? This is his derrick. The Lord's speaking to him again. I want you to go here. He's getting him back on his path, his life. I will go where you call me to go. God has put things inside of you he wants you to do. He has a plan for you, plans to prosper you and to give you a good life. Amen. You are a story. God has written a beautiful story about your life. God doesn't write bad stories. You might say, Brandon, I don't like the what I'm going through right now. What's going on? You know what I'd tell you? It's just a chapter. It's just a chapter. Don't toss the book. You're special to God. Commit your ways to him. You put your eyes on him no matter what. Amen? It's like watching a movie for the first time and you don't know what's going on. And you watch it, and the whole time you're like, whoa, whoa, and you're on the edge of your seat, and you're like taken back by it. And you don't know what's going to happen to that person you like, and you don't know if he's going to survive in the movie, but you find out he survives, and he marries the girl, and you're all happy. But you don't know what's going to happen. You're watching it, and you're on the edge of your seat, and you're sometimes, my wife, she'll be watching a movie. It's a really good one, intense. She'll Google what happens. Said, why are you doing that? I'll take her phone away. Don't do it. She can't handle what's going on. She has to Google what happens. I said, I will not watch a movie with you if you do that. She goes, I can't. I'm getting Costco's. I can't. I'm gonna Google it. So she does that. Some of you guys with your life, you don't know what to do. You feel like this and that, and you want to Google it. But it's a difference when you watch the movie the second time. You're excited, you're happy, you have your popcorn, you're not even thinking about it. That guy right there, he's not looking good, but you know what? He's going to survive. He's going to marry the girl. You already know it. You're happy. Other people, have you ever watched a movie like the second time and it's another person's first time? They're all like really into it and you're just like sitting there laughing at them. You know like what part's going to get them to kind of maybe kind of jump, make them jump a little bit. And you just watch them and they go, oh, and you just laugh. Why? Because you watched it. And let me tell you, God knows your future better than you know your past. He has written a beautiful story about you. You might feel like this right now. I don't know. But trust in God and everything's going to be okay. Oh, yeah. a beautiful ending, amen? I watched this movie one time. It was actually a show. It was really touching. I actually watched it by myself, and I had to be honest. You know, I started kind of like, it was really sad, like tearing up a little bit. And I was like, man, that was a really, you know, good show. And then like a few days later, I'm watching it with my family. And they all are crying. And I'm just sitting there. I'm enjoying it. I know what's going to happen. I'm enjoying it. And they said, what's wrong with you? They said, what's wrong? They actually said, is your heart cold? Why are you? They didn't, I didn't even tell them I watched it before. But what, I had a different perspective. We got to have this perspective in our life. God loves me. He has a plan for me. And he has plans to prosper me, to give me a future, and to give me a hope. When the enemy tries to throw things at you, say, God, I know you have a future for me. I know you're blessing me. I put my eyes on you and you alone. Amen. Hallelujah. So I kind of want to just share a little bit about my journey, kind of what's going on with us. We've really seen God do amazing things in France and what God did there and in the UK. And we serve such a mighty God. Even in Mexico, we were there, and I go to speak, and the place is packed out. And a lady came up to me, and she said, I've been praying for you, and she couldn't even walk. But let me tell you, I got up there and started preaching about Jesus, putting your eyes on him, and guess what? She started walking. She started jumping. She started dancing. She came to me, and I actually started dancing with her. But we're seeing God do amazing things. And this has really been in my heart when I've been praying and I've been seeing this. And I said, God, why do you keep showing me this? And it's this. When I was a little boy, I was about 8 years old, my family, they have a church in Oklahoma, a country church out in the country. And I remember as a little boy going to that church, and I used to hang out in the sound booth. And I remember it was a Sunday night service. Sunday night service. And I remember the church would do a lot of like ministry with like motorcycle gangs. And it was a night where all the motorcycle gangs were coming to church. I was excited. I'm like, wow, these are guys you see on the movies. So I'm there. I'm an 8-year-old boy. And I remember they came in and they were big. And I remember the message went forth. It just seemed like a normal Sunday night service. But guess what? The power of God hit that place. And those big guys were knocked on the ground. They were crying, they were weeping, asking Lord to please forgive them. And they were trying to get them out of the service, and they couldn't. I remember being on the soundboard. I ran down, and I went up to the guys, and I remember seeing their faces, crying out to God. My friend's dad that came down, he fell down, got stuck to the floor. And I've been praying. I go, God, what is this? What are you showing me? And he says, son, I'm showing you this because it's going to come back to the churches again. Where the power of God comes in, touches every heart, where we don't leave the same, but we leave forever changed. Do you believe that? It's happening now. We got to have it. We're not just playing in church. We got to have it. I saw it in Mexico. The lady started walking, giving God all the glory. God healed her. And it continued. And before we were in France, we were in Branson, and we were at a conference, and I'm sitting on the second row, and Brother Kenneth Copeland is preaching. And he's preaching. The place is packed out. He's preaching. He's talking about the fire of God. We got to be carriers of the fire, and just talking about it. And the fire is burning in me. And he says, son, you, pointed at me. I thought he was pointing at someone behind me. You, get up here. So I went up there, and he brought me on the stage, and he said, the same fire that's burning in me is going to burn in you. And he laid hands on me. So he told me, he says, wherever you go, you preach this. You talk about this. And that fire will go into them. So I went to France on a mission. I'm going to talk about the fire because I know what it's like to hear sermons, to hear all this, but not to have a touch from God, to not be forever changed, be forever impacted. So I went on a mission. I'm going to talk about the fire. I'm going to talk about being carriers of it. God did amazing things. And God has put people in my life that are so on fire for God. It's amazing. The man that is ahead of the work in Mexico, he is a powerful man of God. His ministry started, he's from San Diego, And people, when he was a young guy, like in his 20s, they said, we want you to come and preach right. And he goes, okay, where at? And they go, right by the border. He said, okay. So he said, they start driving and driving. And that's, guess what? They kept going past the border into Mexico. He started trembling. He's like, I don't want to come here. No way. They said, oh, it's okay. It's to the border. You didn't tell me this. I would never have came if you would have told me this. So he said, they go up into the mountains. And he said, "When he, these are the people that God has put in my life that I talk to regularly. And I know it's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident or a coincidence. I'm speaking to you guys about this right now." So he said they start driving in these mountains. And he said, I was kind of scared. I was shaking a little bit. He said, I've heard stories about Mexico. And he said, we were going farther and farther up these mountains. And he said, I saw a mule. And he said, the sun was about to go down, and it was still light, and there was a mule, a donkey. He said, I kid you not, the donkey looked at me and goes like this. He said, I knew that donkey was saying, what are you doing here? You have no common sense. So he gets up there. People are worshiping God, praising God. Power of God's moving. He gets up there and preaches. He's all happy now. He feels safe. God did amazing things. And they start chanting and dancing, and he's chanting and dancing, and he's repeating what they're saying. And he's just going on and on. And his uncle who drove him said, stop teasing them. What are you talking about? Stop teasing them. They're chanting more revival, and you're repeating it, and you don't want to be here. He said, that's right. How do you say no revival in Spanish? But he said, God, I'll give you 3 nights. God moved, did amazing things. And the Lord says, I called you to do a work here in Mexico. So he said, I'll be here for 30 days. When he was there as a young boy, people shooting at him, shot his windows out, threatened, but he was on assignment. God, I'll give you 30 days, and I need you to show me that I'm called here to Mexico. I don't like to talk with an interpreter. I feel like it just doesn't go well. I want to speak the language. That's my heart. I want to speak the language too. I even had a little greeting I said in Spanish. I won't. It's a pretty good one. All right, here it is. Hermanos. I'm doing a replay right here. Hermanos, Dios los bendiga. Estoy muy contento de estar con ustedes aquí en Mexico. Yeah. Destiny told me, don't do it. The place is packed out. I'm about to go up there. Don't you do it. She told me that. Talk about a woman of faith. She was discouraging me. I'm embarrassed. She told me, don't do it. And I did it. And I looked at her, and she just all red. And you know, it's amazing. The guys there, though, they said, "Brandon, you encouraged us to learn English." They told me that. So I say, "Say it again." No, I said, "I know." No, but so he said, "Okay, I'll give you 30 days, God, 30 days." On that 30th day, the place is packed out. He goes up there to preach, and he can't talk. He said, Brandon, I couldn't talk. He's telling me this personally. I couldn't talk. Something was in my throat. They thought I was tired, exhaustion. You know, he's been there for 30 days. Been threatened, shot at. Shot his windows out in his bedroom. Couldn't talk. He said, all I can say is, Brandon, Espíritu Santo. Espíritu Santo. Holy Spirit. Espíritu Santo. He said, they brought me in the back. What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Straighten up. He said, that you're about to take me off. He said, no, God's doing something. God's doing something. He gets up there and starts talking. He says, Brandon, I felt something loose in my mouth. And he started speaking Spanish fluently. Now he preaches in Spanish. Has an amazing work. Has like 8 or 9 churches there. So men of fire, when you're around him, you can sense it. Like, oh my goodness. You can sense the presence of God on him. We're called to be carriers of that. So God has put these people in my life. Seeing amazing things, miracles, and the prophecies that's been, you know, people speaking over me, the fire. And I believe, you know, the Lord, in the Bible talks about he has baptized us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Not that we have to be weird, but there'll be things that the enemy will try to put your fire out. He'll try to get you discouraged. Wait, he's trying to put your fire out. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift inside of you. Like stirring up that fire. You can have a beautiful fire, but if you let it just sit there for a while, it's going to go out. Wait, you got to put wood on it. You got to prick it. Stir up the fire that's inside of you. Be thankful what God has done for you. And it will stir up more things in your life. Stir it up. I want to stir it up in you guys tonight. The worship team can come up. I want you guys to be so hungry for God. I want you to say, you know what? I know without a shadow of a doubt, you have a plan for my life. I'm special to you. A special plan for you that I don't ever want to be the same. Amen. He'll try anything to put your fire out, but the devil's a liar. You're not just here by accident. He is a liar. He is defeated. We serve such a mighty God. One of my dear spiritual mentors, he all of a sudden just went to heaven just recently. And I heard about it, and I just talked to him like a few days before. We talked for a while, and it really bothered me. And I was kind of sad about it, trying to put that fire out in me. Like, man, I don't want to go preaching after I hear this. He always encouraged me. He would call me when no one wanted me to go speak anywhere, and he'd say, "Son, Brandon, you're the best evangelist in the world. You're the biggest evangelist in the world. I see it. I see it. I see it. I'm telling my friends about you. A lot of places we went to is because of him." And I hear he goes on. And I go, "God, what is this?" And he showed me that scripture, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." We got to have our affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Not what's going on or this. And, you know, we got to put our eyes on him. We are people of heaven, amen? We got to drip with heaven everywhere we go.
Thank you for checking out our podcast. For more information on His Name Ministries, check out our website at hisnameministries.com or check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Have a blessed day.